Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning.
Hello and welcome to this edition of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I'm your host. I'm Dr. Walker. I'm going to be with you for the next 60 minutes. Thank you, by the way, for joining us this evening. We have a fantastic show planned for you, and it's one that I am certain that you all will enjoy. We've got some very special people that will be on tonight's broadcast, so we don't want you to miss any of it. If you're just catching us at any point in time, if you should catch us in the archives, just know this, that sometimes the show starts out kind of slow because we give our commercials and so forth and so on. But I do want you to know, that it gets to the point where it's where it gets active. I mean, seriously active. So it's really, really interesting that you, that you stay tuned and, you follow through with that. So once again, I want to just remind you all, go to my website, check that out at drjessewalker.com. You can go there at drjessewalkerinc.com, either one of those, and check out my services and my products without me going into great on these very things. All right, we should be joined with a featured guest for the evening, Mr. Monty, I believe it is pronounced, Brantley. So he's going to be joining us. We're also going to be having Ms. Audrey Blake, author Falling in Love with Me, that should be coming on the air this evening. So by all means, we've got a great show planned, and I certainly look forward to you all joining us this week, and it's certainly going to be a great show. Let me go ahead and bring Mr. Brantley in, and we'll get some information on him and what it is that he does, and we'll just go there now and do that. Mr. Brantley, welcome to the show this evening.
Oh, thank you, Doc. I'm glad to be back with you again. You might as well call me one of your followers now, ever since I first learned of your show through Ms. Blake and been listening, and I've looked over a podcast or two, and I was like, yeah, I'm going to stick with this gentleman. I think I hear the voice of God with him.
Oh, well, that's good. I appreciate that. Thank you so very much. I trust that you will stay with us, and you'll send us out there on any of your social networks to let your friends know about us. We would certainly appreciate that if you would do that for us.
Yes, no problem.
Okay, all right. Mr. Brantley, why don't you tell us about yourself, what it is that you do, how you do it, and what it's all about.
Okay, let's see. Well, my name is Montague Brantley. I'm a junior. Of course, I'm a son of a mother and a father. My father was an MD, cardiologist, internal medicine specialist. My mother was a educator and also dubbed as a nurse when she felt like it. So I come from a healthcare background.
All right. And what is it that you do now? I mean, I know your parents, your father's MD and your mother dubbed as a nurse when she felt like it. But what is it that led you to do
Well, it didn't lead me. I'm old school. When your parents tell you to do something, you jump. You didn't ask any questions. I am a massage therapist. My specialty is neuromuscular therapy, deep tissue, body mechanic structure. I kind of work on what's ailing you. I seek to find the problem, fix the problem, pamper the muscle, and then tell you how to keep it straight. That's what I do.
Okay, what are some of the most, and just before I bring Ms. Blake in, what are some of the most serious illnesses, if I may put that word out there, that you have encountered?
Oh, wow. You want me to just pick one, really?
Well, I mean, you can, throughout tonight's show, you can tell us about several of them, but I'm looking for probably one of the most serious.
Well, in my arena where I work in a healthcare facility, a FQHC, and that's all I'll say about that. That's just a federally qualified health center designed to set up to treat everybody in the community who wants to come. Through there, I deal with people with HIV. I deal with people with cancer. I deal with people after surgery, pre-surgery, spinal bifida, occulta, you name it. I work on different kinds of people.
Okay. All right. Now, has any of these, just before we bring Ms. Blake in, has any of the people that you worked on gone into, let's say, remission? You mentioned cancer or, I mean, became completely healed for that matter. When you say that you show them how to correct these things and then keep it straight.
Okay. As far as going into remission or being completely healed, I never have a clue. When God does his thing, I'll find out about it later on. I've had people come back and tell me that they don't have the problem anymore that they were coming to see me for, and that's excellent.
Right.
Other people have told me that once I instructed them on what to do and they do it, they don't have their problem anymore. So if that's healing, then hallelujah.
Okay. That sounds real good. We're going to ask you to stand by, Mr. Brantley. You're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show, 347-857-1769. Our featured guest this evening is Mr. Monty Brantley. Let's go ahead and bring in Ms. Blake now. Ms. Blake, author of Falling in Love with Me. Ms. Blake, welcome to the show this evening. Welcome to
the
show.
Can you hear me, Dr. Walker? Hello.
We can finally hear you now, Ms. Blake. Go ahead.
I said, how's everybody doing?
Oh, we're doing great. Thank you.
Awesome, awesome. Well, I don't want to say a whole lot tonight. I love what we're talking about in the show, so we want to get right into it. I just want to say that we're welcome to have, we feel great having Mr. Brantley as our guest tonight. And I know it's going to be an awesome show.
All right. That sounds very good. Sounds very good. Okay, let's get right to it. Tonight's topic is your health really your wealth? Part one. This is a part one series that we're going to do. And let me go ahead and present this evening's story. Our characters are Karen and Leslie. This event takes place at a school faculty meeting. It takes place at a faculty meeting. They're both teachers. Karen and Leslie are both middle school teachers who were once really good friends working at the same school. Their friendship came to an abrupt halt when they got into a very heated exchange at a recent faculty meeting where it was obvious they did not agree on the subject matter. The issue was at a level that no one would have ever thought them to be prior friends. It was clearly unprofessional on both parts, and no one, including the administration, did anything to intervene with these ladies' harsh exchanges to each other. Now, their families used to have dinner at least once a month together, and, of course, that has not happened since the incident some time ago. Their children even played together in times past. Days after the faculty meeting, it was clearly talked throughout the school that these teachers, who were once very good friends, appear now to be enemies at the highest level. The sad news is that this infraction has caused both Karen and Leslie to miss several days from work because of unknown occasional illness from the stress of the situation. Karen has presented to her husband that she can't sleep and has anxiety attacks simply going to work. Leslie, on the other hand, is also affected internally, and she can't seem to stop eating and recognize that additional weight constantly. The bottom line is both ladies have children and spouses, which has now taken a great toll on their marriage and family relations. Their personal dreams are now shattered because of the daily tension they encounter at work, which has caused them to lose desire for anything, including their teaching careers. Other coworkers, of course, have tried to get them to make amends, but they are not interested. They go out of their way to actually avoid each other. And, of course, they don't speak to each other. The question that we start out tonight, Ms. Blake, let me pose this to you. You know, we'd always talk about the gloves. Could these ladies just simply put on the boxing gloves and be done with it?
yes and no. And that sounds
okay.
But the gloves they need to put on are open communication. They need to just come together and keep it real about how they're feeling. Now, they may need somebody that acts as kind of a mediator in that process, but I think holding it in is not the answer.
Okay. All right, holding in. Other coworkers have even tried to put them together to make amends, but these ladies' health are clearly affected here. So, I mean, they're not interested. So what can you do if a person is not interested, but they're internalizing this, so it's affecting them?
Well, walk.
Go ahead.
Okay, Mr. Brantley, go ahead.
Okay. If they were not interested, it wouldn't affect them at all. You don't have problems from something you don't care about. When you're dealing with other people, first of all, they need to come on over and let me book a massage so I can talk to them for an hour while I'm making them feel good.
Okay. And what would you tell them if either one of them, Mr. Brantley, told you about this situation? What would you clearly say to them, if anything, if they presented that, oh, this crazy lady used to be my friend on the job, you know, now I can't stand her. What would you tell her while you're giving her a massage?
Oh, well, one of the techniques I use, and I use this for people who don't want to see the truth, is I change their mindset just a little bit. I kind of understand how the brain works just a little bit. And so when they start telling me, and this is actually something I have to deal with on a fairly regular basis, someone will come in and begin to tell me someone's on their nerves and what they did and how they did it, and this thing is just driving them crazy. So the first thing I do is I go, oh, that's great, because I need to put a break in there. I need them to break from their train of thought, because someone says, oh, that's great, the first thing you're going to do is say, how is that great? And then I say, take a deep breath in. And exhale, and let's think about something different. And then I just kind of pick a hypnotic monotone voice, and I begin to send the truth, as I perceive it from God, into their mind, plant a seed that probably what they're talking about isn't the truth. The truth is just the opposite of what they're saying. You really miss that person. You still need them in your life. You're mad about a situation, but you're too prideful to admit you're upset. And you don't want to go to them because you have unforgiveness in your heart, so how can forgiveness work between either one of you? And things along that line.
Right. But now I want to address something that you said. You say if they didn't really care, it wouldn't bother them at all. But I see it a little differently, because you can meet a stranger on the road out there. Say you're in a pizza parlor and you're ordering your pizza and you get into a confrontation with somebody who you thought skipped you in line, and they became rude and ridiculous, crazy for that matter. You don't know that person. You don't really care, other than the normalcies of caring for a human being. But, you know, you have this confrontation, an argument. Hey, buddy, I'm not skipping you. I went to my car to get something and like 30 minutes ago. So mind your own business. So now the way that they talk to you, how can you not care about your own feelings? You know, you don't necessarily care about that person like that, but you care about your own feelings. So it's going to bother you without you, you know, if you don't say something or if you're internalizing it. So help me understand what you're saying when you're saying if it didn't bother you, you wouldn't care.
Okay, Dr. Walker, let's see if I can do it this way. I'll do it. I'll use me an example because I can use my family without asking them because they belong to me.
Okay.
So if I have a brother and my brother and I don't see eye to eye on how he interacts with the family, we have strong words about it, my brother and I. I get offended. I'm upset. I don't like it. I take a disposition, as Bernie Mac used to say, there's a misunderstanding on sight.
Uh-huh.
It's not because I don't care. It's because I do care. And I don't like the way they are operating. I don't like the way he doesn't spend time or donate money or just call to say how you're doing. It's not that I don't care. You have that strong emotion because you do care. Now, if it's a person in the pizza parlor who cut me in line and we're acting hostile and testosterone is flying, I'm caring about that situation for the moment. But if I'm still caring about it 6 months down the road, there's a problem with my thinking. There's a problem with me. There's something internally out of sync. Because in normal situations, you only respond really, really strongly to immediate threats. And anything else is a grudge. And the only way you can carry a grudge is you really care, because if you didn't care, you couldn't hold the grudge.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by just for a second. Miss Blake, go ahead, and then we're going to go to call at New York, 917-399. Go ahead,
sure.
Miss Blake.
I just had to interject. I agree wholly and completely with what he just said. I say this all the time. You know, you really don't take much stock in people that you don't really have some connected feelings to. You know, mm-hmm. they will annoy you for the moment. So someone who cuts you off in a parking lot, you know, you're like, that idiot, what's wrong with them? But
right.
A sibling who is not making good choices, who doesn't see you care about them, it will bother you because you do care so deeply.
Right. And I still kind of see it a little differently because I'm thinking because of the way that my understanding is our makeup, the way our emotional makeup is, and of course everybody is different, and some people have thicker skin than others. But somewhere along the way, when someone says something to you that you don't even know sometimes, they call you a name that's totally offensive to you. And that's why we have the laws that protect us from certain, you know, words and behaviors and actions by people. You know, someone says something to you, and that thing can penetrate your spirit that it affects you for times to come, just like with Leslie and Karen. These were ladies, professional women, friends, and now once before. And now it's internalized them that it's affecting their health, which ultimately is their wealth. Let's go to the phone line. Let's go to New York, 917-399. And then, Ms. Blake, we'll bring you right back in.
Sure.
Hi, Dr. Walker. This is Angela.
Angela, thank you for joining us. Angela, give us your take on this.
I'm from the old school. I'm only going to say it once and approach you once. And if you offend me and disrespect me, we're going to take it old school to the streets and thump it out. That's how I feel about that.
That's how you feel about that. So that person that jumps in line and skips you in line, this complete stranger, but say you go to 10 different places and you find that these people, because sometimes behaviors bring about or cause gravitation of other behaviors when we haven't resolved certain things. This is my humble opinion. And it causes us to find that we're in confrontations all the time. So you're going to go to this one pizza parlor, and then you find that next a month from now you're in a in the DMV line, you know, getting your tag, and someone just steps out of line to just, you know what, I want to ask a quick question. You find that they're up there for 15 minutes. And then, you know, getting service, and you're going to take them outside too, Angela? Help me out, if you will.
It depends on what type of mood I'm in that particular day, Dr. Walker. I'm a no-nonsense person. If someone steps out of line, I correct them. Excuse you. There are people who would do it, and they don't care about everybody else on the line and how long they've been waiting.
Right.
So those people you have to say stuff to, and those are the same people you'll probably get into a confrontation with. I feel as though, no, you shouldn't have to fight them, but there are people who do not respect others and their place, and you have to put them in their place. And sometimes it's going to lead up to a fist fight.
Okay, all right. So we might, Angela, we might have to get you some gloves so you can get paid for this. Sounds like you.
Listen, believe it or not, I've never came toe to toe with anybody putting them in their place. Now, I've had confrontations, arguments with them, but I've never had to fight them.
Okay. All right. We're going to ask you to stand back just a second. Miss Blake, let's bring you in, and then we're going to go to 850-212. Miss Blake, go ahead.
Sure. So the point I really was making was that even if that act in that store or wherever the parking lot resonates with you and it's not somebody you know, that stuff runs deeper than surface. And so it may be triggering something from your past. So then that's when I say you got deeper problems than feelings with a person. There's something deep within you. And I believe that's what, you know, our guest was trying to say as well.
Okay, and then maybe Miss Blake now, and I'm still wrestling with this because I'm thinking the deeper problem within you may have been for years you just let people skip you in line. You just let people, you know, kind of have their way with you. And then you finally get to the point and you say you build your confidence. You say enough is enough. I'm kind of tired of people just taking me for granted. What do I look like? You know, walk on me? And so, you know, maybe there's something built up, but I think that it's kind of natural for a lot of us. Some people will let it go, but after five times somebody's jumping in front of you and you have now your patience is running out because you're in a hurry. Somebody says, well, look, I'm in a hurry. I need to just, you know, you just have to excuse me, miss. I just want to ask a quick question. And then they go up there and they get serviced. And you're finding, I thought you had a quick question. Well, no, I'm almost done now. I'm sorry. You know, I mean, no, you're not. Let's go to 850-212. Welcome to the Dr. Jesse Walk Show.
Okay, how you doing, sir?
Fine, sir. How are you? Who do we have with us this evening? And welcome.
Timothy.
Timothy, thank you so very much for joining us, Timothy. We appreciate having you. Timothy, what's your take on this?
Give me a little bit more on the topic so I'll make sure. When I came in, I wasn't quite sure what I was hearing. I want to make sure.
Is your health really your wealth? You know, we got a situation where two professional women, both teachers, they were once friends, and now at a faculty meeting they had a big issue, and now they don't even speak to each other, but it's affecting them internally. One can't even sleep at night, and she has anxiety just going to work. The other one can't seem to stop eating, so it's affecting her, and she's gaining weight. Now the situation has escalated to where it's affecting their family lives. You know, their children used to play together. Now the husbands, they all used to come together once a month for dinner. That's not happening anymore. So now we're talking about, is your health really your wealth? And, you know, people internalize things and by not letting people walk over them or they express themselves. You know, so give me your take on that. Is your health really your wealth?
Well, I was listening to the last person that spoke, and you know, at some point in time, you gotta voice your opinion on how you really feel. And a lot of times, things escalate when it gets to that point because people are not rational anymore. They don't take things as easy anymore. So it becomes a problem when you try to do the best you can to solve a situation. based on what's going on in the world today, when you try to be as nice as you can and try to come to a conclusion as to how can we solve this here, sometimes there's no rest. You can't do a whole lot. You can't even talk to people anymore. So many people are out of control now. So, you know, I don't know really how you can solve this problem, because everybody is just, the world is just in an uproar, and there's really no solving things nowadays because people don't take things kindly anymore. So, you know, it gets so far out of hand, and it just gets really nasty now to where people really hurt each other.
Okay. All right. We're going to ask you to stand by, Timothy, just a second. Let's go to Ms. Blake. Ms. Blake, let me ask you this question. Do you think that, I mean, the world is, as Timothy said, things seem to be so out of control that, you know, while you're going to come to you in just a second, while you're just saying to somebody, excuse me, but you know what, the line is back here, and they're just ignoring you. I mean, at some point, you know, could it be that you just be quiet, and but at the same time you're quiet, your heart is pumping extra blood because you're anxious now. And so how is that not affecting you?
Well, here's the thing, and I tell clients this all the time, and sometimes myself many times. We cannot control the behavior of others. We just simply can't. Don't try it. If you're married to somebody in a relationship and you're trying to do it, give that up. But what you do have control of is your response to their behavior. So it's all about the way to respond.
Okay. All right. We hear some dishes in the background somewhere. We do apologize for that noise that's coming in. Let me go to Angela right now. Angela, let me ask you this question. You said in line, now this is the third place that you've gone, and you've tried to be this nice person. You're probably a person that goes to church, you know, 3 or 4 times a week, trying to be nice and everything and trying to do it the right way. But now your patience is drawn. How do you do it, Angela? I mean, it's not, you know, there's always a way to do it. You know, you do your yoga and you do your chanting, your meditations. What do you finally do, Angela?
Sometimes I have to just take a deep breath, Dr. Walker. But there are some people who are out there to just disturb the other person. I've come in contact with these type of people all the time in New York City. You have a lot of people walking around here. I don't know if they're mentally ill or not, but they act like they are. And you will find yourself 9 times out of 10 getting in confrontations with people. You try to hold your breath. You try to ignore them. They still do things to aggravate you. And you know what? I gotten to the point where I just deal with it as it comes. If a person pushes my buttons, I say something to them. And sometimes I'm nice. I'll say, you know what, I'm going to ignore this today. I'm going to let this person get over. But then there'll be days where I'll say, listen, I've been on this line long enough. I don't have time for other people to jump this line. And you're going to get cursed out, straight up.
Let me ask you this.
How I deal with those things.
Are you on any medication?
I need to be on some medication. New York is a different breed of people. I say that all the time. I'm from Georgia. I'm the nice and sweet person. But I even noticed that I could go out of town and be this calm, nice, relaxed person and come right back the next day, and I'm back. I will curse somebody out. I have road rage. And I think it's just the whole demeanor of the people here in the city. They're just rude, and a lot of them don't have home training.
Mr. Bradley, we're going to come to you in just a second. And Timothy, don't go away. We're going to come back to you as well. Well, Angela, what about the prospect of moving out of New York and going back to Georgia where the people are probably nicer? What do you think about that?
I've been thinking that a whole lot, but the way my job is set up with my benefits, I can't do it quite yet.
Okay.
But I have been anticipating doing that. Yes.
All right. Let me go to Mr. Brantley. Mr. Brantley, what do you think?
Yes.
I mean, here Angela is not on medication. She says she might need to be on some. But maybe this is what keeps her off the medication, because not holding it in, she's able to let it out. And that seems to be maybe not a bad thing, you know, or as Timothy said earlier, it can put, and I'm paraphrasing here, it could be a dangerous thing. What do you think, Mr. Brantley?
Yes, yes, and yes. Now, here, okay. let me swing here. I need to cover a gambit of areas because you got a vast audience, and God made people in many different ways. We're all not the same. However, there are some things that are instinctively the same simply because we're human, and that's the way the brain functions. We've got years of a particular way the brain has designed itself to react in situations. If we perceive danger, we get a fight or flight. Now, my sister
right.
likes to fight. So
okay.
that's
okay.
normal. That's normal.
Uh-huh.
That's natural. That's
okay.
how we're designed. Some of us, we get a flight. That's normal. That's natural. That's how we're designed. I heard you mention about some, I'm going to call them ticks, but some things that have happened previously in our past that might lead us to a moment when we say enough is enough. That's
right.
good. That's normal. That's what happens with our brain. Our brain is designed to put us in a position of power and let us know when we're in a position where we need to survive. So we naturally will do what is natural in a situation. Now, me, I try to stay focused on the spiritual because that's the higher plane. That's where you don't look at the person anymore and see a person. You see the enemy at work behind the person. Might even be working through you if you aren't careful. So
okay.
the key to health being our wealth is to remember, first, am I operating in my spiritual or my natural? Because we all know we can operate in the natural. Even I can get down with the best of them. And sister, I used to live up there in Riverdale. I know what you're talking about. The key
okay. All right.
is to progress, perfection. And hopefully, if we get around like-minded people who want to progress to perfection, well, there's health and there's wealth and prosperity in the perfection. You just got to keep working to it and try not to make any withdrawals where you ought to be making deposits.
I hear you. Okay. Ms. Brandon, we're going to ask you to stand by just a second. We're going to go ahead and bring Timothy back in. Timothy, in the case with these two teachers, I mean, these are supposed to be professionals. I mean, the examples that they're setting, even on their jobs, and they're still, I mean, after months of this same thing, they're still, don't you think they're still affected by this? Because they've internalized it? Because now, not even beyond the friendship, it's starting to affect their health, which they're taking days off from work. So now it's affecting their wealth. Is your health your wealth? Why is that so important in your opinion, Timothy?
Well, first of all, I mean, you can overcome the situation that at hand where you or the issues that you have. You can always pray about it. You can always reach out and see if you can work something out and come and make the best of it. But all that other stuff, as far as going to fighting and other issues to try to solve it, not in this day and age because people don't care anymore. Folks are out to hurt no matter what. If you take them there, they're going to hurt you. So a lot of times you can solve a lot of your problems pretty much by trying to keep yourself from going there and to having all these headaches and problems. You have to do it, try to solve it the best way you can to keep from going to the streets or fighting or causing yourself to get sick. It's just too much. And when I say that, it's because the whole world is at an uproar right now. Nobody respects anybody anymore. There's no way to sit there and solve anything by hand because people are just waiting for you to make a move so they can hurt you. So the best way to solve it for me is to pray about it and pretty much just, if you're going to reach out, even if you don't get anything good out of it, you know, at least try. And then you just let it go from that point and try to stay away from the problem that is at hand that you're having so you can have a sane mind without having any problems. Because if that person is interested in trying to make it work, they'll reach out as well. That's how I see it.
Okay.
Yep. Hey,
all right, Timothy, we're going to ask you to stand by. Let's go to the phone lines again. We're going to go 786, looks like 514. 786, 514. Who do we have on the air? And welcome.
Hi, this is Michelle. Good evening, everyone.
Michelle, good evening. Michelle, help us make some sense out of this, your thoughts on this.
I think that when people have unresolved issues, like, you know, as we're seeing, it's affecting their health, but they need some type of closure. And what I mean by that, yeah, maybe they had a disagreement or whatever, but apparently it's lingering. And sometimes you need to revisit something just to hash it out. Maybe they need to hash it out to say, you hurt my feelings, I hurt your feelings, or we're just not going to be friends anymore, just to see. Obviously, there's some unresolved issues going on, and it's lingering, and it's affecting their life. And so maybe if they have some resolution, then maybe they'll be able to move on. And the resolution may be that our friendship is over and we're not going to be friends anymore. But there's something about that whole situation and the argument that is not finished. It's unfinished.
Okay. All right, Michelle, we're going to ask you to stand by. Ms. Blake, let me go to you. That seems to make sense to me also. You know, hey, let me just step out here. It doesn't matter. Let me be the bigger person. It just doesn't matter. Let me be the bigger person. Let me step out here and say, look, Karen, Leslie, you know, you really hurt my feelings. Do you want to talk about this thing or you don't want to? Do we, you know, reconnect or what? What do you think about that, Ms. Blake?
Well, I'm a firm believer in that. You know, I'm the person, I believe in keeping it real. I believe in putting it on the table. Now, there's a time and a place for everything. And I definitely said in a lot of instances or some instances, there must be some type of mediator because this does not need to turn into a fight, but it does need to be addressed. There are too many people who don't want to deal with conflict, and conflict is very healthy and necessary at times.
Amen.
Okay. You're saying that conflict is necessary at times?
Oh, definitely.
Okay.
And healthy.
All right.
Amen.
Okay. All right. Tonight we're talking about your health, really your wealth, and this is only part one. We have our featured guest this evening, Mr. Monty Brantley. He's a massage therapist, and it's more than that he is, but he'll come back in and bring us a commercial momentarily. Let's go to, looks like the producers are giving us, we're going to bring in Rose. Rose, welcome to the show this evening.
Hi, Dr. Walker.
All right. Rose, give us your take on this. What is actually going on?
Oh, I just think that they're acting really childish, you know, childish. I think both Karen and Leslie need to stop acting so childish. Whatever it is that, you know, these are adults. Whatever went wrong, whatever messed the friendship up, whatever went on that they didn't like, they can discuss it, you know. If they have to bring in a third party, sit down with them and trash it out, you know, meaning discussing it, not fighting, they need to do that. Right now, I feel like they're acting like kids, you know. And if they had a really good friendship and it's worth saving, me, talk about it, discuss what went wrong, and if it's something they cannot resolve, then agree to you know, to end it, but not to be carry on this vexation between the two of them.
I think that that's a very interesting point that you bring out, Rose. And I think a lot of us are saying pretty much a lot of the same things tonight. Let me go back here. Angela, let's bring you back in. And Timothy, we're going to bring you back in momentarily. Angela, let me ask this question. I mean, assuming that you're over 25 and you've tried maybe some of these things, you're taking your deep breaths, as you mentioned earlier. At what point do you, all those deep breaths that you took, I mean, it's like they're compiled inside of you now, and there's this compilation that you're about ready to just explode. What do you think now, Angela?
Well, when it's people on the street, I don't carry that around. I've learned to leave that where it started. But when it comes to family members and you're dealing with that type of behavior, that's a different story, because I have a sister who have called my kids names to my face. I had to lock myself in a room to get away from her. I had to call the police because her mouth was so reckless, just to refrain from hitting her. And that same sister, years later, I actually just punched her in the face because her mouth is so reckless. that it's just nonstop when it comes to her. There are people out here that you're going to come in contact with that you just can't get away, let them get away with the stuff that they're saying. You can avoid it as much as you can, and they'll keep going, pushing your button. So her and I end up in a fist fight. But after that, I didn't have any more problems with her for maybe a year or so. But now I just ignore her. I stop speaking to her. Like for every other year, her and I aren't talking to each other because she don't know when to shut her mouth. And then I'm always the person who turns the other cheek. I'm my mom's oldest sibling, and I try my best to say, okay, whatever it was that happened, I apologize if I offended you, but it's the other person that keeps it going, keeps it going. I mean, we can sit here all day and say that, try to turn the other cheek, but there are people you're going to come in contact with that you just cannot avoid them. You have to step up to them. So, you know, it depends on the situation. Most of the time, I've hardly ever gotten in a fist fight with strangers, but I have with my own siblings.
Okay. Blood is different. Angela, let me just ask you, are you over the age of 35?
Yes, I'm 45.
Oh, you're 45. So you still will do fisticuffs if you need to. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes, I will. I would chin check someone real quick.
Okay. There you go.
But you turn the other cheek, girl.
Turn the other cheek. I'm tired of turning the other cheek. Listen, you need to see these breed of people I had to deal with in New York City. Black people, the turns it up to the 100 power where they just, I can't even describe what it is. It's not just no home training these days. It's just that they, you know, with them not working and things aren't going their way, they're just not doing anything. So they choose to, you know, go after people who do have something going on. So at some point, you got to just stand up. I mean, I ignore people all the time. But it comes to a point in my life where I'm just like, you know what? Amber, bring my sneakers down. I got my Vaseline. Let's go.
Okay. All right, we're going to ask you to stand by just a second, Angela. We're going to go ahead and take we're going to start bringing in some of the comments that have come into the studio. And, Ms. Blake, let's send this first one out to you. In reference to, is your health really your wealth? Part one. A female writes in, she says, I think your health is everything. Without it, you really have nothing. What do you think about that, Ms. Blake?
Dr. Walker, that is right on point. And I just want to say this briefly, because I remember sitting in a hospital ER because I was having some problems related to stress, which has led me to life coach on stress more often. And I realized that, you know, they put that little tag on you. If you die, that little tag identifies your body once that breath leaves your body. And so you really have nothing if you don't have your health.
You don't have your health. You really can't even think about the wealth. Let's go to Timothy. What do you think? How important is that? She says that, you know, your health is everything. Without it, you know, you have nothing. Do you agree with Ms. Blake?
Most definitely. Your health is definitely important. Life is really no good without good health. I mean, who wants to be stuck up in the bed or sick or based on a problem that you have with somebody that's supposed to be a friend or somebody else? I mean, you know, who wants to deal with that? The health is very much important. I think everybody tonight, from what I've heard, touched on, had something good to say about what, you know, this whole topic, because you never know the situation that you might be in at any time. Every situation is different. So I agree with everybody that had commented on this story. But most important, your health is definitely important, and that's why I say it. Me personally, it's not that important to go to the extent with somebody that has a problem, that I have a problem with. I let them continue on and have the headaches or the problem, and I'll just move on.
All right, no. Let me go to this other Ms. Brantley. Come on in. Go ahead.
Okay, I just wanted to take the opportunity since we're talking about that. In case people didn't see it this simplistically, I'd like them to see it this way. There is only There's only four reasons. Your body is going to be sick, or in the medical profession, we say be in anti-homeostasis. there's going to be either a physical problem or a chemical problem or a spiritual problem or a combination of any of those. That's what throws us out of sync. So to stay healthy, to get wealthy and wise, you really need to be focusing on all three of those things as much as you can: the chemical aspect of the body, the physical aspect of the body, and the spiritual aspect of the body. Because only when one of those three things or all of those three things are out of sync is a person sick. Other than that...
All right, where does the emotional component come in?
Emotion would be more in the spiritual aspect of that, because you're dealing with the thing in the mind.
The spirit in the mind.
The physical aspect of a body has to do with the integument system or the circulatory system or the endocrine system or the skeletal system. See, that's a physical thing. That's something in the body going wrong. And the chemical, serotonin or your dopamine or your electrolytes are out of flux. You know, you got too much salt in your body or not enough salt. That's chemical aspect. But when you move to things of the mind, that's where I put emotional and spiritual, because really they kind of function the same. It's from your head. The battle's fought in the mind. So it's all coming from right there in your head. When those three things, when any one of them is out of whack, or all of them out of whack, then we tend to have real problems dealing with people or dealing with a job or coping with stress or even being able to be polite and say thank you. Or heck, yeah, come on, get in front of the line. I ain't in no real hurry.
Okay, all right. I really want to address this. Let me go to some, Ms. Blake, let me just put it out there. Okay, you go to the bank and you go to the store. And, I mean, these people, as Timothy said, you know, we live in a world now, and I've experienced this as well, where people, it's just so rude. And what Angela's talking about, I mean, a lot of the New Yorkers, I've lived in New York and other parts of the world where people, they're not as polite, and it seems that they have a lack of home training. And so this is how some of them just do it. So at what point, Ms. Blake, I'm saying here, what point do you just kind of like, I'm tired of people skipping me in line. You know, I've been that guy that's turned the other cheek, and I agree with Angela. There's a time when people just get tired of turning that other cheek, and they need to let you know, because you're constantly, it's like you got this banner over your head that walk over me, skip me, and that's not how it is.
Well, here's the thing, Dr. Walker. I don't know if you all remember the book, but I forgot the author. Don't sweat the small stuff. It's small stuff. And the other thing is, going back to that ER experience I had, you know, the body again, we get caught up in really small stuff. And sometimes it does have to do with what Mr. Brantley just said in terms of homeostasis and our state of being, because chemical imbalances may contribute to our mood swings and our feelings and all of that. But at the end of the day, you know, we have to take care of our bodies, and we have to do everything possible. I'm talking to myself as well, because that's all we have. And then here's the other thing. Why are we in such a hurry anyway? You know, someone said to me the other day, well, I know you're really concerned about when certain things happen, you know, if it's not moving fast enough. I said, no, I'm not, because I reached a point in life where I realized, why are we rushing? Don't we know where we're rushing to our death? So why don't we slow down, relax, and enjoy the journey?
Okay, that's interesting. The author that you're talking about is Dr. Richard Carlson, author of Don't Sweat... Don't Sweat the Small Stuff, Dr. Richard Carlson. He's also the author of Ways to Be More Intimate, Loving and Stress-Free in Your Relationship, the Don't Sweat Guide for Couples. He also has one of those books.
Right.
Let me ask this question as I put it out there, and let me go now to back to Timothy and ask this question. Do you think Ms. Blake is on point that we maybe should slow down and not be in a hurry anyway, even though sometimes being in a hurry, we do need to kind of get through that bank line, because now we need to be working 15 minutes and the drive is 25 minutes away? What do you think, Timothy?
Yes, I do. I agree with what she said. But a lot of it, like I said, every situation is so different. You can slow down. You can. But then you got to think in terms of other people. You can't control how they are. And those are the ones that's frustrating you. Even though you're trying to do the best that you can for yourself, other people are not concerned about you. They're the one in a fast, such a fast pace that they cause more problems. Or if you're not moving more fast enough for them. So no matter how you do it, you're always at a disadvantage because you're not, you can't please everybody. You're trying to do the best that you can for yourself. And like I said, I agree. But that's just not the way the world is today. Unless you're living in a place where people are just small town, where people just, you know, everything is just in a slow motion. But when you're in a big city, you got to deal with it. You got to go with the pace. and believe it or not,
well,
it's going to cause problems.
I just want to interject again, you know. I just moved from Atlanta, so I'm coming from an Atlanta, Georgia experience, which is a very fast-paced town, which at times is frustrating to me, but what I allowed to frustrate me and I had to stop, it was like, what's wrong with folks? You know, it's not the end of the world. And even the bank line, you know, okay, is the world really going to end if you don't get that deposit in by today? Get something else.
Well, I mean, if you don't wrote checks for about $1,500 and you only got a couple hundred dollars in the bank, then the world could possibly seem like it's coming to an end because that could be considered an act of fraud, you know, and you don't make that deposit. So, you know, I guess it depends on the circumstance, and they're always extenuating circumstances. So, you know, I mean, people, there's sometimes a valid reason why people are in a hurry. You know, let's take another comment that's coming in real quickly, and I want to be able to give this one to Angela. I want you to take this one, Angela. The party sends in this comment, says, it's really not that serious. Your health is number one. The day you decide to stand up may be the same day someone knocks you down physically. Angela, what do you think about that? You know, you stand up quite a bit for these folks, and what do you think about that? The day, you know, at 4 or 5, we were talking about, you know, it might be a 22-year-old, Miss Ali, Muhammad Ali's daughter, that's in line. And you know she gets paid for fighting for a living. What do you think?
Dr. Walker, the way I see it, that might happen, and I'll take it in stride. If I get knocked out, I just get knocked out. Listen, I've been shot with my husband, minding my own business. So can happen to, you know, people when they're minding their business. So we can go through all these scenarios all we want. You have to, once again, I pick and choose the situations that I'm in. And 9 times out of 10, I deal with people with my words, with my mouth. 9 times out of 10, I don't have to fight them, but I will fight them. So I'm gonna say that because there's people out here that are keep coming at you, keep doing things. I've been in situations where people have done that. I go to work, my husband go to work, we take care of our family, and you got these non-working people who don't have a life, and they decide today that you're the target. And you either you're going to keep ignoring them, and it gets to a point where you just, you know what, enough is enough. I'm putting on my sneakers, and I'm dealing with the situation. And 9 times out of 10, most of those people have backed down. They don't want to get in a confrontation. But they, I don't know why they choose to pick on people who are doing the right thing. I'm sorry, that's the life I live. I've been in New York City since 93. I'm from Georgia. I was born in Georgia. I was raised in Georgia. And Atlanta type of people are different from New York City type of people. The only thing I see that's fast in Atlanta is traffic. And that's it. And I get frustrated. But I find that when I leave New York City, my pace slows down because I realize I'm in the South. I don't have to rush anymore. And I'm at a comfortability. I actually use a lot of profanity when I'm here. But the minute I get down south, I chill out. I'm in the most relaxed mode. But the minute I hit New York City, it's like back to the jungle. And right away I start cursing. Right away I start having road rage, you know, going off on people just for cutting me off or driving too slow. And I believe we can control it. Actually, I've gotten better over the years controlling my stress and not allowing a lot of things to stress me out. But traffic in New York is like my number one stress.
All right. Angela, we're going to ask you to stand by just for a second. And, you know, your health, we're talking about your health is your wealth. And it may be that, you know what, we have to ultimately look at where it is better, best for us to reside, to live. Because I mean, if you're going through that in that particular neck of the woods, might not be a good thing. Let's bring Rosie in just for a second. Rose, give us your synopsis on this. We're about 2 minutes from ending the show, you all, and we want to get just a few more opinions.
You know, I think I read where it says it's a soft answer, turneth away wrath. And sometimes we have to stop and think about that, because a person is not going to actually argue with themselves unless they're crazy. So if you give a soft answer, you know, and you don't argue back, I think that might help a lot. Also, I think we have to realize that sometimes we're all the Jesus that another person is going to see, and we have to carry ourselves in that way. When we're in a line, I mean, come on now. Sometimes, as Ms. Blake said, we do need to slow down. Sometimes we're rushing too much, you know? And I think we need to slow down and remember that we are representing Christ. And each day, you know, when we go out and leave our home, we have to remember that we are representing Him, and we have to behave in that manner.
Amen.
That's an interesting perspective. Let's take some more of the comments, and we're running quickly out of time. Let's see here, who's still with us here? Let's go now to the phone lines. We're going to go and bring in, let's bring back in Timothy just for a second. Timothy, I want to ask this question real quickly. They sent in a comment and says, I think a bad relationship with the wrong person can seriously affect your health, which could ultimately affect the little money that you might have. You think there's any validity to that?
No, I think it's true. I said, but at the same time, you are in control of a lot of things yourself. You don't have to have it. Once you see the problem, you can solve that problem. If you feel like it's causing more health problems for yourself, you can solve it by ending a lot of things to make things better for yourself. It's each his own. Everybody is different. I mean, some people sit there and deal with it. Me, myself, I couldn't deal with it. It would end real quick, especially when I'm in control of my own money or anything
right.
else.
All right.
So no, it doesn't have to be that bad. Go ahead.
It don't have to be that bad. Okay, let's take Mr. Brantley, this other comment that comes in, this male writes in, I don't think anything is worth allowing anyone by causing you to be that you take it so personally that it affects everything else that you may do. How important is that? I mean, giving somebody else our power, why should we retain that power?
All right, I'm going to do this quick. To give somebody else that kind of power over you, it would not be an asset to you, because we need to remember that God, those of us who believe and accept God, that He is the one that's over us. Now, if you've got a situation that you can't shake over, you know, you or your brother, you or your cousin, you or some ex-friend, and no matter how hard you try to shake it, it stays there, I would say that's God telling you, you need to go fix that.
Okay. I think that that's an interesting perspective. Ms. Blake, you'll take the final one and then bring us home. We're going to go with possibly part two of this next week. Mr. Brantley, if you're available to be our featured guest and we can get more into your therapy and see how that can align us with being able to take deep breaths and calm down. Would you be available next week, or you need to get back with us on that?
I'll be available, Dr. Jesse Walker, with you as long as the Lord says be there. And He hadn't told me not to, so look for me every Tuesday.
Okay. All right, sounds good to me. We'll have you again next week for part two. Let's go ahead, Ms. Blake, and take us home with this last comment. This lady writes in, she says, I made up in my mind years ago to not allow anyone or anything to cause me to have ulcers over getting upset with anyone. It's not worth it in the long run. Ms. Blake, take us home on that note, because we're out of time.
I really believe that she has done a great thing, and she gets at the very core of what I really have been attempting to portray for the evening. It's not worth it. Your health, your body, your physical body, you know, it's all you have.
and you have to keep in mind, because you can have a great mind, and that's important as well, but you can't move and enjoy life without your body being in the state that it needs to be in. I mean, we take better care of our vehicles than we do our bodies. And so when before we get upset, you know, we need to understand that we need to keep calm and carry on.
I think that that's a very interesting perspective. And on that note, we're clearly out of time. I want to thank all of our guests, even Ms. Brantley. Thank you for being our featured guest. We look forward to having you back next week for part two of Is
thank
Your
you.
Health Really Your Wealth, part two. Join us this Friday for your half-hour inspirational program. If you're, and, of course, if you choose to bypass this Friday, we'll see you back here next Tuesday live on the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Until Friday or until next Tuesday, I say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless, and thank you, God.
Good night, Doc.
Good night.
I want to get your...